Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
Thank you, Woody. We go right to him. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Joe, I'm doing great, buddy. How are you?
Man, I'm hanging in there. Thank you. I'm doing all right. Hey, so we got the third phase. I call it the third phase now as we go into OTAs and mini camps here. And there's still some pretty good names. I'm looking at some of these names in free agency. I'm guessing most of them because they want more money than they've been offered or want to see how this thing's going to play out or don't want to go to camp too early. But, boy, the Dolphins, and I'm guessing a lot of teams could still use some guys kind of at the end, Odell Beckham to Calais Campbell and Justin Simmons. What happens with those guys? They all get picked up, right? At some point they end up going, this is the best offer, this is the best place for me to be.
Yeah, I think you're right. And a lot of it at this point is, why do I want to sign now? If it's not everything I want, I can wait and sign later. I don't have to screw around with OTAs. Maybe I can skip some of training camp. At some point, you got to get ready for the season, obviously. But unless they're making you an offer you can't refuse, you just sit and wait and you take advantage of that. And I think sometimes guys get the itch and they're ready to go. They want to get this done. We know the Dolphins have talked to Odell Beckham Jr., but you know, he got $16 million last year from the Ravens for not a whole lot of production. I got to wonder at what point he accepts the fact that he's not going to get anything close to that in his next contract, and he clearly hasn't accepted it yet.
Well, I think a lot of those guys that we're talking about are in that boat right now going, hey, you're a backup safety or you're a third wide receiver, and you're going, wow, I've made great money my whole career, and now there's going to be a little adjustment here. So you're probably right on that. So – this 18-game regular season, you kind of were one of the first guys knowing the league wanted to do it. Mike, how close are we to 18 games right now? Would you say the next couple years it could happen?
Well, the best time for the NFL to do it would be within the confines of the next CBA negotiations, because the reality is if the NFL really wants it, the NFL is going to get it, because the owners will lock out the players and shut down football for a year if they have to. They won't blink. They're owning the teams indefinitely. For the players, the idea of giving up 1 year of their careers when their careers aren't very long, we know that that doesn't work. It didn't work in 87. It didn't work in 2011 when the players finally gave in and took the best offer the owners were making financially. And in 2020, they agreed to 17 games because they knew from experience, even though it was a fight, and you could argue to some extent that Demoris Smith, the former NFLPA executive director, ended up leaving over the issue because a lot of players didn't want to go to 17 games. They knew they're getting their 17 games. So now they're getting their 18 games. And the messaging from the NFLPA current leadership is far more compliant. It's not hostile. It's not belligerent. It's not no way in hell. I think they get it done. And the report from the Washington Post this week was they're going to approach them in the next 12 to 18 months. And maybe they'll have an offer that they'll accept before, if they know it's inevitable, they're going to get squeezed to do it, and there's a way to make more money for everyone, and maybe they get a second bye week out of it, then maybe they do agree to it because they know they're going to get pushed to do it at some point. We may as well find a way to make it a win and do it happily now.
I got to ask you about what's going on down here. We got this F1 race coming up, which is kind of part of the big plan over there at Hard Rock Stadium with all these sporting events. How about Stephen Ross being offered $10 billion by a wealthy guy, Ken Griffin here in the state of Florida, offered him $10 billion for F1 and his football team in that stadium. Are we going to start seeing more of this from some of the owners going, wow, why are we not adding more if we have a nice big piece of property trying to put a track around it and get more events?
Well, and I don't know what the F1 aspect of it would be worth. Like, how much of it is for the team? The record for any NFL team is $6.05 billion, which broke a record from a year earlier of $4.65 billion. These teams keep going up and up and up in value. You may have some owners who decide to cash out, depending upon what their succession plan is. Stephen Ross didn't want to because he intends to leave the team, I think, to his daughter, who will then run it. And if you better, and that's the other thing, is the values go up and up, you better have a good tax lawyer who's making sure Uncle Sam is going to get his piece of your estate, because you got to be able to pay that bill. That's why Joe Robbie's family had to sell the team to Wayne Huizenga years ago. It was an estate tax issue. Jack Kent Cook in Washington, same deal. That's how we got Daniel Snyder, as an aftermath of that. So you better have a lot of money to pay the tax bill, and that's one of the problems for the league. And, Joe, a point that I made this week, and this was sparked by Stephen Ross saying no to the $10 billion offer, I think we're going to see teams have a harder and harder time getting any public money for stadium renovation or construction. These values keep going up.
Yep.
It's going to be easier for politicians to say, pay for your own damn stadiums, guys. You can afford it. Sell some of your team and pay for it with that.
I agree. I think Kansas City's finding out that same thing. Like, we've been really good. Nobody's wins as much, and they're going, great. You're also worth a ton of money. You need to pay for that damn thing, or most of it, for sure. And I agree with you, by the way. We've seen it down here, especially after the baseball park was built. There are a lot of people pissed off. They got a sweetheart deal, and they're going to be paying for it for a long, long time. So, moving on, I got to get back to draft. Those numbers came out. My God, Mike, 12 million people on average watched the first round, 270. I didn't know what that crowd, I knew on my TV, it was a lot of people, 275,000 people. Mike, are the cities paying for it right now? And if they're not, are they getting ready to? Is the NFL going to make them pay to get it?
Well, the NFL decides who's going to host the draft, and it's basically become like the Super Bowl. And they pick. See, they got away from the open bidding on the Super Bowl, because what happened was, if you'd have Miami, New Orleans, Houston, and Arizona all jockeying for a Super Bowl, and only one gets it, the other three are like, why'd we waste our time? So the NFL just now targets and goes and says, this is what it's going to take, yes or no. And you say yes, you get it. You say no, they move on to the next one, and they'll keep moving until somebody says yes. So my guess is the NFL is finding a way to turn this into a revenue stream. They're not going to wear it on their sleeve. But you look at what that did for Detroit. They had their biggest weekend ever in hotel. But, Joe, you know, you left off the other part of it, and I'm not finding fault over it. I'm just saying, yeah, $12 million the first night, but, man, it really underperformed on Friday and Saturday, which shows the value or lack thereof of having star players. And one of the things that occurred to me after seeing those numbers, because overall – it was down 3% on TV. That's how much Friday and Saturday dragged down Thursday. They need to do a better job of identifying stories and cultivating those stories prior to the draft. That's something NBC always does with the Olympics, where it humanizes.
Right.
They got to find guys and turn them into people that we all want to see. When does this guy get drafted? That's what will get people to tune in on Friday and Saturday. The sooner they do it, the more those ratings. As I say, I love football as much as anyone. By the third day of the draft, I'm like, when is this frigging thing going to end?
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah,
I did not watch it.
Tom Brady,
I'm with you.
Pick number 199, but it's not like they rubbed some magic shell and Tom Brady emerged. Well, we didn't know who the hell he was. It's just another name. It becomes background noise by Saturday.
You know what? It's funny. Like, I'm interested going into the second round because there's like 9 or 10 guys that kind of drop out. I wanted to see, especially if I really liked them from college, and I'll watch. But you're right. That That after that second and third round, they don't get much of me on that third day. Not at all. Just maybe checking in from time to time. So, arena football and UFL. How long does this last, Mike? I know it started back up, and everybody's trying to hit on the popularity of Big Daddy called the NFL. Does the UFL work this time for the offseason? I know they're now together with the best teams. What do you think happens?
Well, it's working really well in St. Louis, and I think part of that is people in St. Louis want to give the middle finger double-barreled to Stan Kroenke in the NFL, so they're supporting the Battlehawks, who have only had a couple of home games. They went from 40 to like 31. That's just incredible in comparison to what some of the other teams have done. The ratings, hey, look, they started a decent number, and they slipped. And what kind of traction do they really develop? And eight teams, I don't think eight teams are enough. I think you need to eventually get to 16. You need to get it spread to more cities. And you just need to get people interested. Joe, I go back to 1983. I was a senior in high school. The USFL captures the imagination. They compete with NFL caliber guys. They get Mike Rozier, the Heisman Trophy winner, to go play for them instead of the NFL. And, you know, they had some big name guys. Reggie White was there. Jim Kelly was there with the Houston Gamblers.
Right.
And I remember the first day it debuted. It was a Sunday in March, and I turn on the TV, and like 5 minutes in, it's like, why am I watching this? I don't care about football in March. Like, it's hard to get people to care about football in March, April, May, and June. And I think what they believe is people want stuff to bet on. And I just don't know if that's enough to fuel it. Now, in comparison to the other programming you'd have on, you can argue it makes sense. I just don't think it's ever really going to thrive. I will turn it on if I got nothing else to watch, but I can't wait to see Birmingham play Michigan this weekend. Like, nobody cares about that. And the Arena Football League's trying to come back, and that thing's swirling down the drain before it can even get started.
Yeah, no, I agree. I haven't watched very much of it.
You can't watch any arena football. It's supposed to be on NFL Network, and they pulled the plug on the deal.
Yeah.
That's the kind of shape the Arena Football League's in.
Yeah, no. You know what, Mike? I don't know if I ever told you. When that thing first started in Orlando and Tampa Bay, I used to do some of the games on TV, go over there and talk about learning on the fly. What the hell is going on in this game? Yeah, it was pretty crazy. So I got to ask you about Deion Sanders. Boy, the one-year love affair. Boy, it looked like, and everybody, ESPN and Fox, were doing live shows, Saturday shows, and Deion's the best, and he's doing this and that. And then the second half of the year, it started to fall apart, and now all of a sudden, not every great player wants to play for Deion Sanders. What happened? Boy, the way bashing guys leaving, too, he and his kid. What are your thoughts?
Well, look, I fell victim to the hero worship last year when it all started very well. Because I'm thinking, man, this guy would be great in the NFL. You know, I've been clamoring for Jim Harbaugh to come back to the NFL because I think he'd be great in the NFL. He was great, and I was glad he came back. I think Deion, who wanted to coach the Falcons back in 2003, not far removed from his first retirement, and before he returned and played for the Ravens, he was saying, I'd like to coach the Falcons. Now he says he doesn't want to come to the NFL, and of course, when 3-0 becomes 4-8, that door kind of closes. But it's very polarizing. If you say something positive about Deion, you got the haters coming after you because, oh, you know, Deion stinks. And then if you say negative, oh, Deion's great. I mean, that makes for a guy who would be a very compelling presence in the NFL. He's very charismatic. I think he has the ability to be a good coach. He just has to have the right people around him. Remember that game last year when they were trying to beat USC before we realized USC was kind of fugazi. And despite having Caleb Williams, the team just wasn't good enough. There was some horrendous decisions made by the offensive coordinator as it related to clock management and play calling. And when it was time to go talk to reporters, it was Deion Sanders' love session and like cult status, and nobody will say anything that would be remotely negative. And there's been some of this evidence of bullying at Jackson State. And we saw the stuff that happened on social media this week. That's the one unfortunate aspect of it. There is a little bit of bullying that comes along with the whole Deion Sanders experience. And if he doesn't like something you say, he'll take you on. He'll block you on Twitter. Hell, he blocked me on Twitter years ago. He's probably forgotten he blocked me on Twitter because of some relatively meaningless thing I said about whatever was going on at the time. So I think he'd be a great presence in the NFL, but he's got to prove he can coach. And this is kind of it. I mean, they got to do something better than last year because it got embarrassing. 1-8 to finish, very embarrassing. But they still had 24,000 show up for the spring game, and I guess it rained the whole day, and they still turned out. There's still some excitement, but it's clearly not what it was last year.
Yeah, you think he'd be better as a head coach in the NFL than this head coach in college football?
I mean, he says that he can't motivate. I can't remember. It was just kind of a strange explanation as to why he thinks he can't motivate NFL players. I think he would be great. I think some of those clips we saw from the locker rooms last year were awesome. And I think he could. I think he's selling himself short. I just think he's choosing not to for now. Or maybe it's just part of the bigger play where he wanted to create a demand that became overwhelming and he finally just relented to it. The problem is, 3-0 became 4-8.
Yeah.
And that's what there was an article recently on ESPN.com where the headline was he said he's not going to follow his son to the NFL. Well, 4-8's not going to get you an opportunity to go to the NFL.
Right. No question. And by the way, his son, he's pumping up his son, calling him a top 5 pick in the draft, man. I'd calm down and let him play, and I don't know. I guess Deion's as gifted and talented as he was, but boy, put that on your kid. That's a tough one for sure. My God.
I love good stories, and I think it would be a good story. The problem is sometimes if you look too close, you see some stuff that isn't all that great, and if you point it out, you get attacked for it. It's just a complicated stew of factors, but it is compelling. It is compelling. You can't look away from whatever Deion Sanders is doing.
Hey, Mike, before I let you go, and this is a topic, I don't know about every other sports city, but down here, about the quarterback and trying to find the franchise quarterback and the amount of money spent by GMs and assistant GMs and their scouting department and their coaches get involved in pro days and combine and Senior Bowl. And yet a bunch of people are still going to come up short again next year. We're going to have the same conversations that 5 or 6 or 7 teams are looking for a quarterback. Mike, it used to be you'd lose your job if you didn't hit on a quarterback, especially the earlier you picked. And now you just go at it again and like, all right, let's try it again. It's incredible that, and I know you don't know the heart and you don't know, and maybe it's the wrong system. What do you think's the biggest problem why every year we're going to have this topic?
Well, look, you're getting very close to touching on what I believe the core problem is. Some of it is that the player has a ceiling that is impossible to discern based upon what he's done in college football and whether or not he's going to step up. Deshaun Watson was a great example. He had 30 interceptions in 2 years at Clemson, and the concern was, hey, if you're throwing that many interceptions at college level, it's not going to get any better when the windows get narrower. And he came to the NFL, and you know what happened? He started hitting narrower windows, and he was great with the Texans. There's a projection involved that you just don't know how it's going to go. But I really do think that one of the things that gets overlooked, quality of owner, quality of team, quality of coaching.
Yes.
Hey, of all those guys that got drafted this year, J.J. McCarthy's in the best spot because he's going to Minnesota where the head coach is the offensive guy. He's already one of the best play callers and play designers in the NFL. He's not even 39 yet. He's going to be there for all of J.J. McCarthy's career if McCarthy works out. For these other guys, Caleb Williams, if it goes great this year, Shane Waldron will be a head coach somewhere else. If it goes great for Drake May, Gerard Mayo, defensive coach, will be there. I don't know that Alex Van Pelt is going to be a head coach, but if you have a couple of great years,
yep,
that's what you got to worry about. You got to worry about offensive coordinator leaves. So there's a lot of factors that go into it, and it isn't always the player, and that's one of the reasons why. They say the draft. I'm not a big fan of the draft because I think players should be able to play wherever they want to play, and they can come up with other ways to balance it out competitively. And they think that, like, giving the worst team the top pick is some answer to balancing the league. How many bad teams stay bad because they still screw up the top pick and they screw up the development of the top pick?
Right. Nope. You're right on the money there. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I guess it gives us a lot to talk about every year, though, the old quarterback and who's next. Mike, thank you. Really appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, pal.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.